The Internal Revenue Service takes the lead on government and industry information sharing. Commissioner John Koskinen announces a new partnership with 20 tax industry groups in 34 states. They've identified 20 new data components that will help the IRS detect and stop identity and refund fraud this coming tax filing season. Federal News Radio's Nicola Grisco has more about the IRS's role in this new information sharing agreement.
This has been a culmination of several months' work. They first created an authentication work group. That was their major priority. And they basically found 20 new data elements from tax return submissions that the agency and states and industry will share with each other. So if you remember Git Transcripts, that was the service that gives members of the public access to previous year's tax returns. And that's what was at the center of the, it wasn't necessarily a cyber breach, but it was something we found out about a couple of months ago. Hackers basically got into the system sometime between mid-February and May, and like I said before, it wasn't a cyber breach. A criminal organization collected the answers to different kinds of security questions that you might answer on your online banking system, for example, questions like your mother's maiden name. And so these cyber criminals had enough information about you to get into the system exactly the way that you would. So this authentication question is something they've really been struggling with. And they're making some changes to their return review program. Now, Koskinen says they found a way to do several things they haven't been able to before.
If tax returns come from the same foreign internet address, we'll see that. If many tax returns are filed from the same device, we'll see that as well. We can also see how long it takes to prepare a return online, from the time a person logs in to when the return is filed electronically. So if a tax return appears to be automatically generated by machine, we'll find that out as well. All of these give us a better defense against criminals trying to use stolen taxpayer information to file tax returns that are false and claim a fraudulent refund. And we can do a better job of stopping the refund before it goes out the door.
That was IRS Commissioner John Koskinen, and he says that they've worked with industry, tax software preparers to strengthen security requirements. These are things that taxpayers will see when they file their returns next year. But these are all questions agencies are grappling with now as they strengthen authentication and their own security practices.
The idea of what's going on here then is they're really looking at what works, what doesn't work. And one of the big things is passwords. I mean, the IRS, like the rest of us, are all about passwords. Are they getting out of that password?
So they're going to have different password requirements. So they're going to make them longer. They're going to ask people to add more characters, uppercase, lowercase, that sort of thing. Probably things that you already do now when you use an online banking system. They're also going to have a new timed lockout feature. So there will be a limit. There will also be a limit to how many times you can unsuccessfully log in. So for those of us that forget our passwords all the time, like I do, and you try three or four times to remember, you'll get locked out probably on that third or fourth time. They're also adding three new security questions, and also something that you've probably seen maybe in the banking or the loan industry, a verification for email addresses. So you'll get an email or a text with a PIN number, and you enter in that PIN number to get through. And again, you see this all the time in private industry.
And I think that's the part of that two-factor authentication. When you hear the agencies talk about moving to two-factor authentication, many times we think of the HSPD-12, the PIV card. But in fact, this idea of something you know and something you have is actually two-factor authentication. Was that part of the conversation, just put in a different way so the average consumer can understand it?
Pretty much. And these are all things that agencies are trying to do themselves as they are considering this greater cybersecurity authentication question. They're doing a couple of other things, though. They're working on a strategic threat assessment and response, or STAR, working group. And 20 different tax industry groups have agreed to sign on to this so far. And they said that they will follow the National Institute of Standards and Technology's cybersecurity framework. So IRS facilitated the first meeting with NIST to come up with a strategy for these industry groups. They're working on exactly how they will make sure that they're following that NIST cyber framework. They've also created an information sharing working group. There are tons of working groups involved with this. Now, the crux of that is the Information Sharing and Analysis Center. So they updated a few different IRS publications, and this requires anyone in industry who electronically files at least 2,000 tax returns to give the IRS identity theft data and also to the states. So again, this is that information sharing question that we're really hearing a lot of right now. I think that's particularly interesting because right now the Senate is debating the Cyber Information Sharing Act, essentially asking the same thing, that industry share information about cyber threats with government. There's lots of debate over this. Lots of different privacy questions are coming up. And the IRS will be the one facilitating all of this. They said that they will be essentially the moderator for this information sharing between industry and states. They said that they're going to use the secure data transfer flow through process. And this is all starting in the 2016 filing session. So Koskinen says that the agency has never engaged in this kind of level of info sharing before. Again, 20 different tax agency groups and 34 states so far have signed on to participate.
We will collect it in real time. We will pull it together and share it back out so that everyone has access to that information. And we think that it's important because the data elements are significant, not just from a one-to-one relationship of the IRS and an individual state or the IRS and an individual preparer, but being able to see across the tax system what's going on and what's happening and being able to share that information regularly in real time through the filing season, we think is going to increase the ability of all of us to detect situations where there's been identity theft and it's being used to try to obtain fraudulent refunds. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but we, as a result of this great effort by all of our partners, we think we're in much stronger position this season than we've ever been before.
That was IRS Commissioner John Koskinen. And did he bring up the idea of how or why the IRS believes they can be that trusted partner?
Well, the IRS already has all of our information, essentially. They already have all of this taxpayer information. And so this is something that they're already doing, and they kind of have to continue to sort of build up their efforts in this. Koskinen mentioned that cybersecurity is something that they've been working on for a while. This isn't something he acknowledged the cyber sprint. He acknowledged the cyber directives that federal CIO Tony Scott has given agencies. But he said that the IRS has already been working on this, and he says they're a little farther along.
What's interesting is when you think about the IRS and the trust factor, people love them, but they also love to hate them. So having there's already a semi-built-in trust because you're already giving, as you said, giving them so much information already. All right, so here's the big question, the $64 million question, probably literally. How are they going to pay for all these cyber upgrades?
Right. Well, Congress has cut IRS funding by $1.2 billion since 2010. That's something that Koskinen will say over and over anytime I think he gives a public speech. He mentioned that in President Obama's 2016 budget request, it includes $281 million for IRS authentication and security measures, things like this that he's mentioning. And Koskinen says this is one of his highest priorities. So if the IRS gets another round of budget cuts in 2016, which is pretty likely, or if funding levels remain steady or flat, then he will have some tough decisions to make.
To the extent we do not obtain the funding, it means something else will suffer. Either enforcement will have to go down. It's hard to imagine our tax level of service getting worse, but if the funding's not there, it's one of the alternatives we'll have to consider. But my hope is that as a result of both the difficulty we had with identity theft with regard to Get Transcript and then the OPM significant data breach, that people on the Hill understand that these are critical issues and you can't solve them without the appropriate funding. And so my hope is that the Congress, whatever else happens in the budget process, will understand that this additional funding will be very targeted to protect our systems, to protect the taxpayers, and to protect government revenues.
So why are they doing this now? I mean, with all the cyber breaches we've seen over the last 18 months, 2 years, the OPM hack is another one. Is there something that really said, okay, now the IRS has to do this?
So Koskinen says no. He says there isn't one thing that's driving this. Nothing has happened this year specifically to drive these changes.
Earlier in the year, there was a suggestion made. Actually, Brad was quoted in the press saying, well, you know, it'd be helpful if we all got together. And I thought, well, you know, that makes good sense. This is actually when I was the year 2000 coordinator for the country. The way we solved that problem was on a set of voluntary working groups across the entire critical infrastructure. So I thought, well, why don't we do that? Why can't we ask the states and major players in the private sector to sit down with us? As I told them when we started, goes back to the enforcement question. The purpose of this partnership or the meeting of the security summit in March was not for the IRS to tell people what to do. Or to threaten them in any way. As I explained then, and it's been true thus far and will continue to be true, the purpose of the gathering was for us to work together, to share information, to come up with solutions as we move forward that would be developed by the partnership, by the working groups, by people working together in this. And so, you know, that's been a great step forward. You could ask, well, it worked so well this year, why didn't we do it 3 years ago? And that's always a good question. I'm just delighted that we've started it, that it's worked as well as it has, and it will be in place as we go forward for future filing seasons.
So Koskinen says, no, there isn't one thing driving this. We know, though, that in August we learned that the breach to the agency's Get Transcript system impacted potentially 334,000 people. That's about 200,000 more than the agency originally reported. So while he says, no, there isn't something driving this, these are all hot topics.
We know there is. Now, is Get Transcript back online yet, or are they still trying to improve this?
So speaking of that, Koskinen says he wants to get it back up and running by the start of the filing season, but he says he won't do it until he's certain that the system can handle and protect against all kinds of cyber criminal activity, and that's things that they've seen before and things that they haven't.